Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, and today we are joined by Dr. John Witcher, who is running for governor of Mississippi. And John Witcher agrees with probably all of you watching about health freedom and about investigating the corruption and fraud that we've all been exposed to over these last few years. And he is challenging the governorship in order to bring back honesty to medicine and banking and finance and justice to not just the people of Mississippi, but to set an example for all Americans. His website is witcher4governor.com. That's spelled out F-O-R, witcher4governor.com. And he's running for the governor of Mississippi. Dr. John Witcher, it's an honor to have you on, sir. Welcome to the show today.
Yes, thank you, Mike. Honored to be here with you.
Well, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy campaign schedule to join us, but let's start with the basics. You want to give people a quick overview of why you're running for governor of Mississippi?
Yeah, Mike, I've been a medical doctor here in Mississippi for 25 years. I'm born and raised in Mississippi. I've been here all my life. My mother is from Yazoo City. My father from Tupelo. I grew up on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. I started a company as a young doctor, Mississippi Physician Services. We staffed multiple hospitals throughout the state with the ER physicians. I'm a general practitioner and ER doctor. I know Mississippi well. It's healthcare situations in a lot of these little rural towns. When COVID hit, I was working at a small rural hospital in Yazoo City. I was the medical director there of the hospital. And we started treating COVID from day one. And, you know, we started treating patients with hydroxychloroquine, vitamins, vitamin D, and azithromycin, zinc, you know, the Dr. Zeb Zelenko protocol, actually. And I think many of us doctors were using that. And then, of course, when Trump mentioned it, it was shut down. Our hospital, the pharmacist came to me and said that we could no longer use hydroxychloroquine to treat these patients. I pushed back. I continued to do it until the higher-ups basically sent out and said, you know, well, you can't use hydroxychloroquine with COVID patients. And so anyway, I did stop. And shortly thereafter, of course, they pushed the remdesivir onto us. I was not a fan of remdesivir. We all know that in the Ebola studies, 53% of people died. And so remdesivir was a very toxic drug. But of course, it was a Dr. Fauci drug. But I went along with the program as best I could, trying to take care of my patients in the hospital, watch over them closely. We did not intubate patients at my hospital. We didn't have an ICU unit. So if they had to be intubated, they had to be transferred. So I did my best not to intubate patients. And then we, of course, the vaccines got rolled out, you know, Operation Warp Speed. I voted for Trump, but I was, you know, I'm concerned about it. You know, I was concerned then about the Operation Warp Speed being able to push out vaccines that quickly. Even if they were vaccines, which we know now, they changed the definition of vaccine. They're basically bioweapons, as we all know. But the point was, Trump is still saying, you know, he's saving 100 million people by pushing these vaccines out. So I know many people have talked with him, and I just hope and pray that he'll come forward and just admit what happened, that Dr. Fauci and many of those guys really, really duped him. But anyway, I was against the vaccines. I would not, you know, I couldn't give informed consent. So they wanted me to have all the hospital employees and the people in the hospital get vaccinated. Wanted me to give the orders. And I said, you know, I just can't do it. I don't know. I can't give them informed consent. And I can do no harm. You know, I don't know what the risks are. So all that got me kind of on the bad list. And finally, we brought Dr. Peter McCullough to town. He spoke to a lot of folks. We invited all of our politicians there. At that point, this was later in 21, Peter McCullough was saying these vaccines are not fit for human use at that point. Yes. And certainly by that point, I was seeing vaccine-injured patients. And so I was very concerned. We reached out to all of our politicians, our governor, who was my neighbor before he was governor. And I voted for him, campaigned for him, but I couldn't get his attention when all these lockdowns and mandates started coming out. He just deferred all things to our Dr. Fauci here in Mississippi, Dr. Thomas Dobbs, who was our health state officer. He wouldn't push back, and so we. So here we are today. You know.
Dr. Witcher, I think then you must be acutely aware of the economic damage that has been caused to the state of Mississippi. by some of these devastating policies and the pushing of lockdowns and masks and the pushing of vaccines and also ventilators in hospitals. But it's not just an economic cost, it's a human cost too, because everybody seems to know somebody who died during the last few years. Can you speak to both the economic and the human cost of all of this?
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. I mean, the economic cost that, you know, that when these mandates were rolled out, there was essential businesses versus non-essential businesses. Many of these non-essential businesses were smaller businesses, and many of them didn't reopen. And so, yeah, there was a big loss there. Of course, when these vaccines started being mandated all across the state, including our hospital settings, you know, we pushed back. That's when we formed Mississippi Against Mandates, my wife and myself, and we grouped other doctors, nurses, healthcare workers, and many citizens throughout the state. We started pushing back, and we helped a lot of people get exempt from the vaccines. We ended up having to give them religious exemptions because they wouldn't accept medical exemptions. But many folks here in Mississippi didn't get exempt. They were fired. They had to quit. And so many of these people don't have their jobs. And, you know, we're concerned about that. You know, we want to look at those folks. You know, our governor is asking for his job back for the next 4 years. What about these other folks in Mississippi? And so there was a big economic burden. Of course, we know the schools being closed, the children being masked. There was much more damage done there than good. These masks don't work. We all know that. But even more tragic than just economic loss, and that's personal loss. These patients, yes. Like I said, I'm treating vaccine injured patients. Many of these patients are very chronically ill. I can roll off a whole list, but strokes, neurological problems, severe autoimmune type disorders. I have a patient that was in mid 30s. She's now in a wheelchair. She has kind of like a transverse myelitis, or really don't know what it is. It's kind of an inflammation of the whole nervous system. And so so many folks here in Mississippi are suffering. They're heading towards being on disability if they're not already. And these are from these COVID vaccines. Also, many folks, we had over 13,000 people die in Mississippi, yes, with COVID. And that's, I say with COVID because, you know, we know that patients generally don't die of COVID, they die with COVID. They usually have 3 to 4 comorbidities. And many of these patients did not have to die. We had early intervention drugs that were used that helped these patients. We have one doctor in Mississippi who's on our board on Mississippi Against Mandates, Dr. Robert Corcoran. He treated over 10,000 COVID patients right here in Mississippi. Up in the Delta, where many very sick patients with a lot of comorbidities, obesity, congestive heart failure, diabetes, he treated over 10,000 of them with early intervention drugs such as ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, vitamins and supplements, and none of them died. Zero. Yeah,
that's extraordinary.
So, yeah.
Look, I've got a lot of questions for you. Let me ask you, though, first, by the way, what is that stop sign that's behind you on the wall? We can't quite read it. What does it say?
Well, that's our official logo that we started. It says stop vaccine mandates.
Ah, okay. So
that was Mississippi Against Mandates. And you can go there and find us still with msagainstmandates.org. That's a 501c3 organization that we started back in 21. And it was to push back against the vaccine mandates. We were mandated in our hospitals all across the state. Either we get vaccinated or we lose our jobs.
Yeah.
So that's when we started that organization.
Okay. Now let me ask you a few other things, because I see also, of course, you have the Christian cross there on the wall, and you're wearing it on as a lapel pin here as well. On your website, you talk about that you're fighting the woke agendas of critical race theory, ESG, trans, and the World Economic Forum. You're against the NWO. You're against drugs and crime mandates, socialism and communism. I think, you know, our audience is thrilled to hear that, because all of those things are anti-human. All of those things are anti-America. They are anti-justice and so on. But, you know, it's not very, we don't often hear candidates for governor in any state talking about how they oppose these issues because there's so much pressure from the globalists to embrace these things. So how is it that you are able to just speak the truth and say that these things are wrong and say you are pro-faith, you're pro-family, you're pro-freedom, you're pro-Second Amendment and so on? I mean, you're not holding back. I'd like to hear about that.
Yeah, we're a grassroots organization. You know, I'm calling on patriots. If I'm going to be governor of Mississippi, it's going to be because of the patriots and we the people. You know, I don't have any big interest donors to my campaign. You know, they're not going to support me because, like you said, I'm an outsider. You know, I'm going straight after the whole agenda. You know, you can look at any of it. This medical tyranny were lockdowns that were unconstitutional emergency orders that were pushed down from the federal government and locked us down, locked the churches down, businesses down, schools down, even hospitals. The hospitals should have never been closed. We should have never locked loved ones out and let patients die alone.
That's right.
This was, a tragedy. And then we see, but we know who's, it's really bigger than Biden. It's the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, all these folks. The World Health Organization, of course, is an entity of the United Nations. We have to push back. We know ultimately what these folks want. They want everything. They want to take America out. They don't want us to be a country. And they want to take our everything away, our families, our freedom, our guns. Our babies, they push abortions. The American Medical Association is bought into this whole new world order and this whole global agenda as well. Very radical liberals that are controlling healthcare.
That's right.
So we see that also in the educational system. The public educational system is not about parents having the freedom to choose what they want. It's about them ramming wokeism down the throats of Americans. And, many folks, including right here in Mississippi, we just don't believe that the division of this whole LGBTQRS, whatever you want to call it, agenda, this transgenderism is what America, what we believe in. This is a fringe radical ideology. It's a religion, really. And so they're pushing an agenda to destroy the family unit.
Well, and they're also, though, I want your comments on this, they're destroying modern medicine as well, because, the way that I'm sure you were trained, and I've known a lot of doctors in my professional career, they were all trained based on real physiology. There are differences between men and women. Obviously, there are hormonal differences, reproductive differences, differences in upper body strength and so on. Across the board. And yet now we have medical schools in America, and again, I like your comments, that are teaching doctors to play along with the delusions of men who think they're women. And so men will be coming into an OBGYN clinic and saying, I need you to, examine my cervix or whatever. And the doctor is now ordered to play along with the delusion. How did we get to this point? And what do you think of that in medical schools now? How insane is that?
Oh, it's total insanity, Mike. I mean, I have two children that just graduated from the local medical school here. And it's a liberal agenda. The AMA controls all public medical schools in the United States of America. You don't get into medical school without going through the AMA. And, in the future, near future, if you're not totally woke, if you are, a Christian, white, medical, someone that wants to get into medical school, you're probably not going to get in, regardless of how smart you are. And this is what's occurring. I was just at a conference this weekend with Dr. James Thorpe. You probably know him, the OBGYN from Florida down there that's been fighting back. He put up studies from the ACOG, the American College of OBGYN, that referred to men or pregnant. It's not pregnant women anymore. It's a pregnant person. This is what they're putting on their out on their research papers. Yeah, it's totally crazy. I mean, the American Medical Association and all the boards and right on down, even to the state level, are pushing that men can have babies.
Well, but if they keep pushing this, I mean, obviously there can be a tremendous amount of harm if a doctor treats a biological man as if he were a woman because he is delusional and thinks he is a woman. But also there's a whole new angle in this, which is, I think it's called trans ableism, of people self-identifying as those with severe physical handicaps, such as being unable to walk, and they identify as someone who is, let's say, even a quadriplegic. And where this is going is that some of these individuals will demand that doctors amputate limbs that are perfectly healthy, because that is their self-identity, is as a person who has, as an amputee. And, you know, doesn't this put doctors in an impossible position, you know, that if you're going to go along with the woke, you have to start cutting off people's arms and legs?
Well, unfortunately, Mike, I think many of these doctors out there don't care. I mean, they're already mutilating children. And this whole, you know, these sex change clinics where they mutilate them, give them hormone therapies.
Right.
And, you know, we have one right here in Mississippi, believe it or not. We didn't even know about it till a few months ago. We had a transgender striptease show in our park here in Jackson, Mississippi.
Wow.
And yeah. And we had grown men stripping down to their G-strings. And we had, there were parents out there with children. And so we looked at that. We found out the people that sponsored, there were many sponsors. There were banks, et cetera, but there was one big sponsor, a teen clinic, they called it. Well, we looked it up. We didn't even know it. This was the end of last year, but our one teaching academic medical school, state-funded, federally funded medical school here in Mississippi, Jackson, Mississippi, they had a clinic there where they were doing sex changes on children. So we were able to pass a law this year that says no doctor in the state of Mississippi can do any transgender mutilation surgeries or hormone therapies on anybody under 18, or they lose their license. So we're pushing back. But yeah, Mike, I mean, these surgeons out there and these doctors, I mean, they, you know, unfortunately, many of them don't care. All they care about is you know, it's big business is really what it is.
Well, let's shift gears here. But yeah, thank you for your answer on that. And we are living in truly insane times. And the medical industry is being occupied and overtaken. But if you were governor of Mississippi, talk to us about your energy policies, because, of course, Mississippi is a strong energy state. And under Trump, Mississippi was actually, you know, doing very well in terms of energy economy. The nation was doing well. We were energy independent. Under Biden, then canceling pipelines, canceling oil exploration, canceling everything, we are now once again starving for energy. What would you do for the energy sector and infrastructure in Mississippi for the local economy there?
Yeah, here in Mississippi, we have a lot of energy sources. We have a lot of natural gas. And so, you know, Biden has stopped production of a lot of things around the country. And that's just, you know, we see our gas prices going up. We see so many things that are harmful. And we want to bring back and make sure that we are self-sufficient here in the nation and here in Mississippi. We can also bring a lot of things that back to Mississippi that are made in Mississippi. You know, a lot of things have been shipped over, but yeah, we want to be energy sufficient here in Mississippi. We can do that.
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. And you know, the thing that strikes me about the people of Mississippi, it's a lot like the people of Texas where I live. They are able to adapt. They have courage. They can overcome, but they need to be given an environment, an infrastructure in which to operate in order to do that. Like no one can get ahead if your hands are chained behind your back and you're not allowed to conduct a business. So, you know, Mississippi, like a lot of states, like Louisiana, like Florida, like Texas, we've got to have the legal structure in order for entrepreneurism to succeed. Your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the government's too big. There's too much red tape, too much regulations. You know, we have to lower taxes as well. And, you know, we tried to get no state income tax like Texas and Tennessee and Florida. That did not pass, you know, but it needs to pass. I mean, of course, we need to do it the right way. You know, Tennessee, we believe, has a good system in that they have no state income tax, but they also have low property taxes. So we have to structure those laws over, have some permanent laws in there to make sure our property taxes don't go up. But this is something we need to make sure we do across the board with this runaway inflation that we have now, spending, you know, our federal government just, you know, printed, $6 trillion out of in spreading all over. This is the economy is our dollars are worth less. Our 401ks are dropping. And so, you know, we need to have some relief on the ground with these folks. And we can do things like, you know, we can look at baby items, for example, diapers, et cetera. We can have no taxes on those for those people. We want families to come to Mississippi. We want hard working, God-loving, country-loving patriots to come to Mississippi. And they are. My wife's a real estate agent. Many of them, are, of course, are going to Florida, Texas, Tennessee, but they're coming here, too. And we can promote Mississippi, the great resources we have. We have a lot of land, abundant, low cost of living. And we invite all hardworking young families to come to Mississippi.
That's a really good point. I want to comment on that. But first, let me give out your website again, witcher4governor.com. I've got it up on my screen here. And you've got a lot of videos there where you lay out your positions on the economy and health freedom and so much more. It's Dr. John Witcher, MD, for Mississippi governor. Witcher for governor, and that's spelled out F-O-R, for governor. .com. And yeah, we've seen a lot of people, of course, fleeing the Democrat-controlled cities and states of America, California, Oregon, Washington, Illinois, New York. They're just losing people like crazy because who can function in those states, or especially in the cities of those states? Who can function? So you're right, Dr. Witcher, they're going to Texas, Florida. I hear a lot of people going to Tennessee. But as you say, Mississippi is another destination. If I were a young a parent right now raising children in America, I would want a pro-family state where I knew my children weren't going to be indoctrinated into some kind of twisted, grooming, pedophile public school system, which is what you get in California and Oregon. And I mean, not all the parts, but a lot of the parts of those states, you get that. So I think you're absolutely right. Mississippi can be an excellent destination. And Mississippi has a lot of natural resources. You got a lot of energy, like we said before. You've also got a good food industry there, a lot of local food production, a lot of manufacturing. You've got proximity to other major cities in order to get supplies and also to be able to distribute things. I mean, there's no reason why Mississippi can't be economically very, very strong in the years ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I agree 100%, Mike. I mean, we have so many resources. You know, we have lots of crops. We have, of course, our number one industry is chickens, believe it or not. And we have lots of chicken, where we breed chickens, et cetera. But also number two is soybeans, and we have lots of corn production. But we have a lot of agriculture is our biggest biggest thing we have going. A lot of forest industry, and so but we want more. We want more mom. We believe in small business. I mean, that's really what has built America. And we want those to, we want people to come to Mississippi, start their business, join businesses, and flourish with us.
Yeah, 100%. And I think we're going to see a mass migration, of course, across the country into areas like Mississippi and Tennessee, like I mentioned. But let me ask you about finance. Because a lot of people are aware that the dollar currency is collapsing. And I believe it will collapse to zero at some point. It won't happen immediately, but that's where it's headed. It's losing purchasing power every day. Well, where I am in Texas, we have state legislators that are, in fact, calling for a gold-backed Texas digital currency, which would then be usable by the citizens to keep the economy running should the dollar collapse. Would you support something similar, like a backup emergency Mississippi currency or a gold-backed currency in case the dollar collapsed, so that Mississippi could keep on operating?
Yeah, I would back that. I mean, you know, this central bank digital currency that's being pushed out, you know, it's a lot of large groups out there, probably backed by Soros, but you know, we're seeing in other states where they're trying to sneak this central bank digital currency through. And so we have to stand firm against that. I don't believe that's the way we need to go at all. And but yeah, we need to have something backed up. Recently, I met a gentleman from Utah, and he had with him a bill that was really it had gold kind of in the bill pressed together.
The gold backs.
Yeah. I mean, this is, you know, I mean, you have to have something there to represent, you know, like gold or silver that has a value.
Yeah, I'm familiar with those bills. A friend of mine gave me one of those, and I interviewed the founder of that company. Jeremy is his first name there. But Yeah, that's a great example of an actual bill that has gold infused in it. But I'm even talking about Mississippi having a backup plan to launch its own currency if the dollar collapses, you know, or if Washington, D.C. collapses, like what happened to, you know, the former Soviet Union in 1991. Boom, it was over. All of a sudden, all of these regional nation states were on their own. And, you know, Texas, I know, has a plan to keep functioning. I don't know if Mississippi has a plan or Florida has a plan. I don't know. I just think it's a wise thing to take a look at that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you that, you know, we're excited about what Florida has been doing over the last 3 years. And I think Texas at least started out doing a pretty good job. They kind of slipped there a little bit. But yeah, we're going to look at, you know, if I'm governor, I'll definitely look at what Florida is doing and what Texas is doing and Tennessee. And I hope Arkansas is going to join in with the race here and combine with the new governor, Sarah Huckabee. And also Missouri's been a friend, and we can name other states, but that's right. You know, we look at Texas and we like Texas, right? And being able to have a state sovereignty, we want to see that in Mississippi as well. You know, the 10th Amendment, you know, the Constitution is about states' rights. And so we want to be there as a strong state and have state rights. And so, yeah, I mean, if we're going to lose our currency and the dollar is going to fade away, then we need to be prepared to have our citizens there with something that's substantial to hold their value.
Would you also, if you were governor and you would bring in a new attorney general, would you seek, would you investigate some of the COVID crimes that have taken place in the state of Mississippi?
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. And that's really why I got in the race to begin with. We started a group, of course, a year ago, Mississippi Against Mandates. And I've been a doctor here for 25 years. And so we're pushing back for against this whole medical tyranny. The first thing I'll do is Dr. Peter McCullough has agreed to be my Surgeon General.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah, that is.
But, you know, I met him back in 21. He came to the state. He was recently here again in February this year, and we had a roundtable hearing at our state capitol. And we had about 25 speakers there. He led it with myself and him. And then we had Dr. Chancey Jung Lindsay from Texas. We had Jim Thorpe. We had just a whole lot of doctors there. Dr. Ben Marble was there with us. He's a friend of mine in Florida. And we had 8 vaccine injured folks there. We had media coverage, but you know, they didn't cover any of the vaccine injured. They cut them out. You can go to Epoch Times and find the full story there. But Dr. Peter McCullough will be my Surgeon General. And from day one, we'll get together a blue ribbon committee. We'll put a lot of these same doctors, scientists, public health officials on there, and we'll push back. We'll investigate these pharmaceutical industry, Moderna, Pfizer, J&J, for these COVID vaccines, because they knew they were not safe or effective. They had the data, they had the studies, but they pushed them anyway, and they lied. And so this is a consumer fraud. This is the low-hanging fruit. We believe we can go after them through our AG department. Of course, we would like to ultimately see Nuremberg trials. We'd like to see these government officials, these government doctors, really, that push these protocols, not only on the national level, Dr. Fauci, but they did it right here in our state on a local level, the government doctors. So, but we're going to start somewhere. We're going to start with the pharmaceutical industry. We're also going to have we're going to make it such that there's never can be any unconstitutional emergency powers pushed on Mississippi. And they're not done. This was a test run. And we believe we have to be very careful. You know, next month, the World Health Organization is looking to put together something that would call it an emergency at any given time for really any given reason.
That's right.
A climate, catastrophe, or what they would call. So we're going to stand firm. We're going to also do autopsies on anybody that dies suddenly in Mississippi that's been vaccinated. They all need autopsies. So we're going to be fighting hard in this, fighting back on this medical freedom. That's really what we want. We want informed consent for patients. Patients should not have died in the hospital alone and on remdesivir. This is something we're keeping very close contact with around the country. I know recently you may have heard lawyer with on remdesivir is pushing back. He's kind of won a little step there on the in California. He's pushing to They didn't give informed consent, right? Even though the PREP Act covers a lot of liability, there's other ways to get around this. And so we're going to be pushing like other states, other lawyers, and bring them here, and we're going to push back.
Dr. Witcher, based on everything that you've already said here, it's clear that you're not going to get any support from the corporate media, which is beholden to pharmaceutical interests and globalist interests. And I think the corporate media wants to see America destroyed in lots of ways, including having our borders overrun, which is happening in Texas. But for you to have an honest shot at this and get the publicity that you need, obviously it's going to have to be grassroots support. So talk to our viewers now about what people can do to help you. I mean, obviously probably donations are part of that, but overall, what can people do to help you get this word out? So that, because I think if Mississippi could hear you, you could win this. The question is going to be getting the word out about you and what you believe in. How can people help?
Yeah, Mike, that's absolutely right. I can win this. We only have 3 months left. I mean, the election is August the 8th. That's the primary. And then the general is November 7th. But I can definitely win it. It's the current governor and myself on the Republican ticket. There's one other gentleman, but he's not in the race. So I'm in the race, and we can win. And like I said, I've been in Mississippi for all my life, born and raised. I have lots of family and friends in Mississippi. I've worked in 15 or 20 different hospital settings throughout Mississippi. Know many, many people, and so it's a matter of just getting the word out. Many people don't know I'm running for governor. And so we have to get the word out. And we're crisscrossing the state. I'm speaking to many groups weekly or 2, 3, 4 times a week. But what we really need is we need to get on that last month, we're going to probably have to do TV ads. And that's where the money comes in to blanket the state with some TV ads. And so that's really what it boils down to. We need more money. You know, we're getting donations, and we're really asking, like Mike said, I'm not going to get any big donations from these special interest groups. You know, the Mississippi Hospital Association, for example, just last week gave the Democratic candidate $250,000.
Wow.
Okay, so that kind of money is not coming to me. I'm getting donations from grassroots folks, that people that I've been grouped with over the last year and a half with Mississippi Against Mandates. You know, that $10, $20, $100 donation, we just need more of them. And so we can get the word out, and we can win. You know, our current governor is not a popular governor. You can look him up. He did some things. He didn't push back hard enough against the medical lockdowns, but also he took the flag away from Mississippians. And whether, no matter what side of the flag issue you're on, that's been a battle for all of my life. And the way it was taken away is when, if you remember back in 2020, George Floyd and the I Can't Breathe and the BLM riots that were all over when everybody else was locked down. Nobody could, you know, it was supposed to be only 10 people could gather, but yet they were having huge gatherings all over the United States. Our governor basically immediately, he just took the flag away.
He
didn't ask the people. He didn't ask for a vote. He just took it away and said, here, vote on a new design. So he's got about 20 to 30% of his constituents that voted for him will never vote for him, just over that issue. So we can win. We need just over 50% of the vote in the primary. And so if you can, you know, just, I need all the prayers I can get, because it's like Mike said, you know, I don't think that, I mean, they're not going to stop, but this whole agenda, it's not just to destroy our country, but it's destroy our whole way of life, including, you know, take away our God. I mean, I believe God founded this country with a few good men. And I believe that's why we've been blessed, because God, good Americans all over America, but certainly here in Mississippi in the Bible Belt, we've held the Bible as our standard by which we live by. And we've been blessed. But so they're trying to take all that away. And we're just not going to stand for that here in Mississippi. And so I'm calling on all patriots that love God, love their country, love their family, love their flag, to come together and just give whatever you can, $10, $20, whatever you can. And that'll help us push over and really get the word out.
All right. And they can make those donations at your website, witcher4governor.com. Yeah, I see the donation link there. Okay, that's excellent. Donate now. Okay. That's really critical, folks. And I want to thank you, Dr. Witcher, for having the courage to stand up, because it's easy to sit back and do nothing, but then you lose your country, just like you lost your flag. And if they take away the flag, that means that they can take away everything. They can take away your history, your culture, your economic viability. They can take away your life, which is exactly what happened, you know, during COVID. They were murdering people, in my opinion, in lots of different ways. So we've got to get you good support. For those watching, feel free to repost this video, share it, you know, post about it on social media. There'll be a copy of this posted on Rumble and BitChute also, since you currently can't share Brighttown videos on Twitter because Elon Musk is still censoring us there, unbelievably. But Dr. Witcher, any final thoughts before we wrap this up today?
No, I just appreciate you having me on, Mike. Just so honored to be here with you. We have so many people here in Mississippi that love you, watch you. We watch you. We nicknamed you not the Health Ranger here in Mississippi. We one of our doctors nicknamed you the Death Ranger. If you really want to know the worst case scenario, we watch Mike.
I'm not sure I like that nickname. But I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
Well, but the thing is, I always try to give people solutions as well as you are doing. You know, you're yeah. taking a constructive role. But honestly, people are dying right now. Like millions of people are dying all over the world because of this, and not everybody's going to make it. So, yeah, death is already upon us. We have to survive this. And we need each other. We need God in our lives. We need the truth. We need freedom of speech. And we need people like you, Dr. Witcher. So thank you for all your time today.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. And best to you. August 8th is the primary voting day there in Mississippi. So for all of you watching in Mississippi, get the word out, share this video, and donate to his campaign. If you can spare a few bucks, that's the only way he's going to get funding in order to have a shot at this. And we need people like Dr. Witcher with courage and humanity to turn this country around state by state. So again, thank you once again, Dr. Witcher. It's been a pleasure speaking with you today.
Yes, thank you, Mike.
All right. And thank all of you for watching. I'm Mike Adams, of course, the founder of Brighteon.com. And you know, look, I built this platform so we can have conversations like this. Uncensored, we tell you the truth, we say it like it is, we give you the good news and the bad news, you know, whatever it is. That's why maybe I got that nickname in Mississippi. Sometimes it's bad news, folks, but I'm not going to hold back and kind of water it down. I'm going to tell it the way it is. And we better fight now, peacefully, lawfully, through elections to take our country back, or we're going to lose it. So thank all of you for watching today here on Brighteon.com. And check my channel on Brighteon for more interviews and podcasts with other freedom-loving patriots like Dr. Witcher. Take care, everybody. God bless America.